Disclaimer: Vested Finance is an SEC-registered investment advisor. The topics discussed and opinions expressed in this podcast are purely for informational purposes only. Furthermore, the material in this podcast is not intended to be investment advice and should not be relied upon to make any investment decisions.
Hi, welcome to another episode of our Vested Finance podcast. Today, we will be talking about the breaking news of NVIDIA purchasing ARM and the Nikola scandal news. Your host today is Darwin Arifin, one of the co-founders of Vested Finance, and with me, my colleague, Tara Fermanto from Berkeley. Hi, Tara. How are you doing today?
Thanks for the warm introduction, Darwin. I'm doing great.
All right. What's the first topic you want to cover today?
Let's talk about NVIDIA's ARM acquisition. So we know that NVIDIA is purchasing ARM for $40 billion, and this is a huge deal that could shake up the semiconductor industry. We all know that NVIDIA has the dominant force in high-performance graphics, right? And ARM licenses nearly every smartphone chipmaker, like Apple, Samsung, and more. So for our viewers, could you expand a little bit more on how does this deal make sense for both NVIDIA and SoftBank?
For NVIDIA, the short answer is to gain market share in the business sector. For SoftBank, they wanted to generate more cash to pay down debts after Vision Fund 1 and a bunch of other investments didn't work out too well. But the more interesting question to answer is the strategic implications of why NVIDIA wanted to buy ARM. So the long answer requires a little bit of an explainer of what ARM is and what NVIDIA is. So ARM makes ISAs. So these are instruction set architecture. These are basic design components for low power chips. They are prevalent in a lot of different electronics, computers, microcontrollers, artificial intelligence applications, among many other things. The analogy here is that ARM makes Lego pieces. Now imagine you go to a department store in the toy aisle, right? You see a Star Wars branded Lego piece. Now think about that value chain. The Lego company holds proprietary intellectual property, you know, IP patents around the Lego, the structure, the different pieces. Some are circular, some are rectangular, but they kind of piece together seamlessly. So that's what ARM is. And then somebody else comes in and designed the Lego and then branded Star Wars. So these could be Apple, it could be Qualcomm, it could be Samsung, the device manufacturers. And then some folks in the semiconductor industry, at least TSMC, TSMC makes everything. TSMC builds the chips. So ARM makes these Lego pieces, the building blocks for a lot of different computer chips. And now NVIDIA initially designs graphics cards, which are also made by TSMC. So graphics cards are these specialized computer chips that can do a lot of parallel computations. And they do that quite well because that is what's required for gaming applications. So when the AI boom happened several years ago, this past decade, researchers discovered that these graphic cards are actually quite good for AI applications as well. So NVIDIA expanded beyond gaming into AI chips and now trying to get into data center applications for both core computing and also artificial intelligence applications. And right now, this computer chips market is dominated by Intel. Intel has close to 90 or 95% market share. It's very, very profitable, and it's a very fast-growing sector of the industry. Now, because these two make kind of two different products, they have very different business models that actually kind of conflicts with one another, right? ARM is neutral. They're kind of the Switzerland of semiconductors. They want to license their building blocks to everybody, no matter what device you make or who you are, right? So NVIDIA, on the other hand, they sell premium hardware and gives away the software for free. But the software only works with its own hardware. So you get the best performance using NVIDIA's chips and NVIDIA software. So in a way, they're sort of a little bit like Apple in a specific vertical. So now we can imagine it's a two divergent business strategy. ARM wants to expand, partner with everybody. NVIDIA kind of wants to protect its intellectual property for itself so that you can buy its hardware. After the acquisition, it's unclear which strategy NVIDIA will choose for ARM. We don't really know. We can speculate. NVIDIA is saying that, hey, they will maintain ARM's neutrality, but it doesn't really make sense from a business perspective. If you look at the market capitalization between the two companies, right? In 2016, SoftBank purchased ARM for about $31 billion. And now, 4 years later, it's selling it for $40 billion. So about 29, 30% increase. Meanwhile, over roughly the same time period, because of AI explosion, NVIDIA's share has gone up more than 16 times. So clearly, the business of selling premium hardware and giving out the software for free is likely more lucrative for NVIDIA. So can NVIDIA then change its business model to license its software to everybody and become Switzerland? That's something that is still to be seen. NVIDIA said that it is committed to be doing this, though, but it might be just a lip service so that the acquisition can be approved, because it still has to go through approval by different regulatory bodies and different governments. One final point that I want to add is the acquisition, that $40 billion, $21.5 billion is from NVIDIA stocks, and then $12 billion is in cash. But after the announcement of the acquisition, NVIDIA's stock went up by $18 billion in market cap. So the stock itself kind of popped and then paid for part of the majority of the acquisition, which is great for NVIDIA shareholders.
So now we know that Arm will operate as a division of NVIDIA, all the while still remaining headquartered in the UK. And as you mentioned previously, the deal is still likely to face intense regulatory scrutiny. Could you expand to our viewers a little bit more about the challenges for this deal to go through?
Yeah, so in terms of regulatory hurdles, it's likely that the regulatory scrutinies will come from three different countries. First is the UK, but from the news coverage, it seems like their only concern is headcount and employment in the UK. So likely NVIDIA can placate them by committing to not moving the headquarters, as you said, and then some sort of a headcount expansion, hiring commitments in England. And this is not unprecedented. SoftBank did this when SoftBank bought Arm in 2016. Now, the US, it's likely going to be from a market share monopoly angle. As I mentioned, a lot of the scrutiny comes from the US regulatory body and possibly driven by a lot of NVIDIA's competitors, whether direct or indirect, concerned because ARM is so prevalent in a lot of different technologies. If NVIDIA decides to shut that down, it can cripple all its other competitors, with probably the exception of Apple. So that is probably going to be the biggest concern that US regulatory bodies have. China will most likely block the deal. I think the biggest concern here is just the ownership change. Arm is currently a UK-based company owned by Japanese conglomerate, SoftBank. When NVIDIA buys it, it becomes a UK-headquartered company, but still a US-owned company, which means all these regulations that the US administration put against trading with Huawei or other Chinese technology companies becomes in effect. And in fact, Huawei's chip are powered by Arm's architecture. So it's likely going to be blocked by the Chinese regulatory body. The semiconductor sector and technology transfer is already a sensitive topic between US and China. So it's likely that China will do everything it can to protect itself. But so what? If China blocks it, it might be a separation between Arm China and Arm the rest of the world anyways. So it's something that will be followed closely by everyone. It'll be an interesting one to see though.
So let's talk about Nikola next. Nikola has been in the news lately, and for our viewers who aren't familiar with Nikola is a public company that makes hydrogen-powered semi-trucks and its fueling infrastructure, basically. It's pre-product and pre-revenue, so the company hasn't launched a production vehicle yet. However, this Tesla competitor is worth over $23 billion at one point. Now, this September has been a volatile month for investors of Nikola's stock.
The share price of Nikola has been very volatile, to say the least. Unlike Tesla, Nikola makes a hydrogen-based trucks. So two key distinctions here. When we say truck, their key selling points initially is these massive 18-wheelers, which is the foundational cargo transport in the US and most North America. So these are massive. And second of all, these are fuel cells truck. So it's very different than electric battery-based trucks. The key distinction between fuel cells and electric is that for an electric vehicle, you kind of draw energy, electricity from the grid, and then you plug in your vehicle and then you store your electricity in the battery. But in a hydrogen fuel cell, you store high pressure hydrogen into the vehicle, and the hydrogen is converted into electricity, a thing called fuel cell. But then you still run an electric motor on the vehicle itself. But because you use hydrogen as your quote-unquote energy storage, the energy density is much, much higher. You can go much further distance or carry much higher loads, which is useful for trucks application. Now, that said, Nikola's share price jumped 40% last week when the company announced a partnership with GM. Now, interestingly, the GM partnership is around a consumer-grade light truck that is electric. But after the share price popped, the share price has declined rapidly after a bombshell report by the Hindenburg Research. You know, these are a group of short sellers. They make money when Nikola's share price fall. And their research accused Nikola for a lot of inaccurate claims, a potential fraud. The SEC has opened an investigation around the issue, which we'll talk more here.
You mentioned the Nikola and GM partnership agreement. So let's delve into that partnership agreement a little bit more.
Yeah, we can actually look at it from several lenses. Intellectual property, funds, technology. From an intellectual property standpoint, the agreement gets GM the patents for the truck platform that they will co-develop together. That IP will be licensed back to Nikola, at least for the North America region. Nikola gets to retain some of the core IP for the upper body structure. I guess that's where it's important for the fuel cell applications. So it seems like there's an even split here in terms of IP. But money, GM pretty much gets a lot of its R&D and manufacturing covered by Nikola. So Nikola will reimburse GM about $700 million to cover any investment in modifying and expanding its manufacturing capabilities. Nikola will also pay GM to manufacture these trucks on a cost-plus basis. So either way, whether the truck sells or not, GM makes money. And GM also gets the optionality of the upside. It gets 11% of Nikola's share, which is worth about $2 billion. There is a holding period of 1 year minimum, though. And then GM gets all the tax credit for making all the electric vehicles. In terms of technology, it sounds like GM is providing pretty much everything for Nikola. The electric trucks are made by GM. And I think the fuel cell as well. So it's basically a truck made by GM, but branded Nikola. So overall, there's minimum downside for GM. These are technology investments that the company has to make anyways. And now it's found a partner to pay for them, regardless whether the claims of the report proven to be correct or not. And for Nikola, the biggest thing that they get is a credibility boost, right? That's why the stock popped initially. I mean, that said though, the deal's not closed. Each party can cancel by the end of the month.
If the deal isn't going through until the end of the month, which is September 30th, this means that GM can basically bail out of the agreement, right?
Yeah, so there's no penalty if GM decides to change its mind, or Nikola for that matter.
So now we know that they announced the partnership on September 8th, and on September 10th came the news of the Hindenburg Research, which basically accused Nikola of fraud. Could we talk a little bit more about what the research specifically said about Nikola?
Yeah, it's a very interesting research report, and anyone who's interested should definitely do a Google search and read it, and it's extensive detailed. But here's just some key highlights, right? Nikola has this really cool video of its fuel cell hydrogen-powered car rolling down a majestic hill in the middle of nowhere. So it turns out that is likely, and I think this has been confirmed by Financial Times as well, that the truck is not drivable at that point. It was actually towed up the hill and then was allowed to roll down that gentle slope over long distances to achieve about 55 miles an hour or so, to give the impression that it's running at highway speed. But the truck itself was not operational. So then the CEO of Nikola made the comment that they never made the claim that it was propelled by its own power, which is kind of silly. The other interesting part is that they claim themselves to be a fuel cell and truck company, right? But the partnership with GM is mostly electric light truck, so passenger vehicle that uses GM's core platform, GM's battery technology. And Nikola is just fronting the bill to pay GM for the things that they are planning on doing anyways. And then the report also went on to attack Nikola's claim about inexpensive hydrogen production. So supposedly the CEO, Trevor, has claimed that Nikola was able to cut hydrogen production costs by 81%. And hydrogen production costs is very important, right? Because in this type of application, fleet and logistics, the cost of transport is one of the biggest costs, and you always have to compare it with the traditional diesel. So supposedly, Nikola was able to cut hydrogen production by 81%, but there's still no proof that this actually happened. And I think another key point that the report highlighted was that Nikola touted multi-billion dollar order book. It's likely not to be real. And this supposedly represents about $3.5 billion in orders by this company called US Express. But this US Express only had about $1.3 million in cash as of last quarter. So another data point that's interesting is that Nikola key partners and backers have been cashing out aggressively, been selling a lot of their shares in the recent weeks. So this might be a major red flag for the company. Now, the report is written by a research group that actually has a short position. Short positions means they bet that the company share price is going to tank and they will make money when that happens. There has been many short positions and research reports produced in opposition to Tesla, for example, but none of them have succeeded, right? I mean, Tesla is not Nikola. There might be some truth to the Nikola claims, but a lot of it now is still he said, she said. We still have to see what the final verdict is. I believe the SEC has opened an investigation around this area.
So if all of this is true, that would make Nikola's scandal one of the biggest scandals ever since Enron in the thousands, basically.
Possibly. You know, another interesting thing about Nikola is that it went to public not through the typical IPO, but rather through a special purpose acquisition company, SPAC. So it merged with a blank check company. One can argue that because it went through that process, there's not as much scrutiny from public and private investors and regulators as it went through that process. But yeah, you're right, Tara. It might be one of the biggest scandals since Enron. But the jury's still out, though. We really don't know until an investigation is concluded.
Only time can tell, right? So that's a lot of interesting news this week. Basically, we have the Nikola scandal and a historical deal being made between NVIDIA and SoftBank. It's very interesting to hear your insight, Darwin. Thank you so much. Well, we can wrap it up here. And for our listeners, we'll see you again next week. Take care and stay safe.